Good afternoon, everyone. This is Vivek from Auroville Radio, and I welcome all of you for our new program, what we have started as a special broadcast, which will be broadcasting every month once in a very special issues which are related to Auroville. So today the issue is water, specifically lake at Matrimandir. We are having Aradeep here, who's working with the lab safeguarding task. Then we have Toby here, who's expert in water management and especially drinking water. Then we have Chandresh here, who's expert in sustainability work. And Charlie has just arrived and who has worked quite a lot in organic farming. Then we have Rob, who has worked in the issue of environment and he's biologist. Then we have Suhasini, who's architect, and Prashant, who's GIS expert. So I would like to present my first question and start this dialogue with a dream. What do you think, Rob?
Okay, I think to focus this discussion, let's just look at the statistics for this area. We have an extraction of something like, I'm talking about the Kali Valley and Ustari catchments, an area of about 1,000 square kilometers. We have an extraction of 650 million cubic meters a year and a recharge of 150 million cubic meters a year, which leads to a deficiency of 500 million cubic meters a year in places just sort of, let's say, south of Kali Valley tank. The water table has gone down to 50 meters below sea level. Within the next 2 or 3 years, our entire water table is going to be saline. Now I have a dream. The dream is, Auroville has worked for 40 years on land restoration, on water recharge. We have the skills for it. We can reverse this whole trend. We can bring this negative of 500 million cubic meters down to zero if, as a community, we make up our minds that we're going to do it.
What do you like to say? I agree completely with Ralph that we have, perhaps for several reasons, insufficiently made a stress on communicating what is going on. But the scale in which it is happening now exceeds Auroville. Although we have a powerful communication to prevent or even to restore, to recharge it, we really have to work at another gear.
What do you think, Suhasini?
You see, on an environmental or technical level is not my concern in the sense of, I'm more concerned about the socio-economic factor. I've spent 3 years of my childhood in an area which was salinated, water table was salinated. In the next 4 years, in an area where there was no water at all. And I've seen the socio-economic reality of living in these kind of places. Even people with money could not access water after a certain time, because it's just not possible. The entire development came to a standstill in Gujarat. This is from the mid-60s to mid-70s. And when I look at what is happening today in India, in many places where there is both energy and water scarcity, there is a kind of a social divide that's coming in with gated communities that take care of their water resource without having to share it with others to make sure that the privileged group has the water. Given the fact that we know we are going through a period that we might get our water table salinated, we know that the kind of development that we are looking at looks at a pattern of land use which is more towards water-rich areas rather than water-scarce areas. You know? So if you want to have this kind of development, I agree with Rob, first let's deal with the factor that we ensure proper management of resource and build-up of resource before we go any further down the road with our own dreams. Because our dreams will be the nightmares that haunts us in 10 years from now if you don't look at the whole region.
What do you think, Prashant?
Well, I won't call it actually a loophole. It's that we have an area of 20 square kilometers, which is Auroville. where we are actually doing all water harvesting and all the things. But the aquifer is way beyond the geographical limits of Auroville. So if we keep on recharging and doing all kinds of things, helping the water table, but around you, if everybody else is pumping out big time, it's not going to help. It's very minuscule with this, to that scale of the size of aquifer and amount of recharging we do and amount of recharge, amount of extraction that is happening around us is quite high. So we have to go out and work with these communities and farmers and everybody so that, you know, there's some kind of a balance. And that is what we have to achieve. And that is what Ralph is saying, that we have to go out. We can't just live within our 20 square kilometers and say that we've done our job and we are okay. We have to go out and do stuff. Otherwise, they are doomed, we are also doomed.
Auroville has the technical skills to do it. Over a huge area, we probably don't have the management skills to do it. We have the technical skills to do it. We've developed those technical skills over 40 years. We don't have the management skills.
But in partnership, it could be done.
Yeah. I went to Dr. Karan Singh last year and I explained this problem to him and I said, we need 150 crore rupees to reverse this. After that, the Minister of Water Resources visited. He's been in touch. He's asked the Central Groundwater Board to cooperate with us. And if the Central Groundwater Board thinks it's feasible, they're far more specialists than I am. If they think it's feasible, I'm sure it's feasible. Water has to be our first priority, I think. Auroville's been here 40 years. If we are to be the city the world needs, we have to show we can do this.
Luckily, there are many places on this planet where successfully water is managed, where there is no shortage, where aquifers are managed well, where rivers are managed well. Technology is there, management is there, money is there. So we don't start from minus 10 or something. That's not the case. Experts can come here. There are enough possibilities. And actually, we know what the problem is and we know what to do. So we have to find another angle. And one of the angles can be projects with agriculture, organic agriculture, drip irrigation. And there is a long line of possibilities together with the agriculture sector to reduce at least the water usage.
So do you think with this knowledge and the will, we would still be able to realize the dream of Mathur, to have a lake around Matri Mandir?
The start point of the lake is somewhere else than to reform the agriculture. But the question was first about the sustainability of the aquifers and the whole water cycle. So I was addressing that point. And especially the last 20 years, the technology has developed tremendously in making wastewater to drinking water. There are many, many countries which have at this moment a desalination plant, even for agricultural purposes. I'm not saying that this is what we should look at here, but there are quite a lot of possibilities to bridge that gap between supply and demand. If there will be a lake or not, I do not know. What I know is what I've read and feel to some extent that Mother said there should be a lake, and this is the start point where the project starts. But before you are there, you have to do quite a lot of research. Quite a lot of research. And this is exactly the point what we have to address now. Do we get the step to know the things, to take the next step for a lake? Or do we have now an intermediate period and we say our desk research is over and will continue to some extent, and do we have a period of, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years, 6 years even, that we have a few tests, and at the end of the test we say, what shall we do? So actually, I don't know. The problem with desalination is the huge energy what you need, is also the brine which comes out of it, and it has big social or environmental effects, and that you first have to look at before you take a step like this. And I think that needs really a community process.
To dispel any misunderstanding, right at the start, I love the idea of a lake. I really like it. I think it would be really nice over there. But we have two scenarios in front of us. One is, we manage to bring our water deficit back to zero. And then we've shown with the city the world needs, we deserve that lake. The other scenario is, we have a freshwater lake sitting on top of a saline aquifer, and then I mean, I haven't done too much anthropology, but it doesn't need much anthropology to realize like what effect it's going to have on the local villagers. You have your desalination plants, you supply drinking water to the villages. I think these desalination plants are a great idea. I think it should be done. But still, if there is a 16-acre lake, and I was 16-hectare lake, and I was a politician in Kulapalyam or Edan Chavati, I would bring 100 people, I would break the fences, and I would put a pump there, and I will channel it that way. I think it's going to cause all kinds of problems that we haven't even thought of.
Well, I would like to address this, because Rolf has really a point here. If you have a lake of the extent of what Roger has done in his parameters, and you have a huge water body, let's not deny this. Before you take a decision, or before you build a lake of this size, and again, top of a hill, the evaporation we have here, percolation what we have here, possibilities of the environment who if we get the aquifers get salinated and we have a huge lake of fresh water, well, you can imagine what is going to happen, but you need study as well. And the whole environment should be a part of the study, and the whole environment should be integrated in your total water plan. So there are a lot of ifs before you take such a step. And if, and now I'm just imagining, if we can supply water, let's say Auroville and more to the villages, whatever, and we can secure that to some extent, if a few of those conditions, then perhaps the lakes come into picture.
Whatever we do also in this area will have to be a reproducible model, that this 20 square kilometers doesn't start drawing from the neighboring regions, you see. It's unfortunately, this is one of these things that doesn't stop with Auroville or the 20 square kilometers or the district or whatever. So the whole system that has to be tackled is political, administrative, and environmental. We need to start having co-development agencies on a district level and state and central level. Yeah. We need to start working with the administration, and we need to start actually dealing with the local area in a larger scale, so that they're not always on demanding from us and we're forced to supply to them, because we become one of the players in the middle of many other players.
I think that's where the whole concept of regional plan comes in, where you actually work with, you look at not just water resources, but actually use, you know, land use, then there's green areas, there's agriculture, then there is urban area expansion, which is happening around the developments along the highways, and all those things, if you put all together, that's where the whole regional planning concept comes in. And it cannot be limited to our 20 square kilometers, which is what we've been used to looking at for the last so many years. But we have to go beyond, and you know, have to have these, not just water expertise, but other expertise also has to be taken out, and you know, go beyond and look at planning as a regional planning rather than just a planning within our 20 square kilometers.
From Auroville Radio team, I thank all of you to come here and share your expertise on this issue, water. There is one word, I mean, Prashant used common sense, and Sri Aurobindo said once that as soon as people come in the ashram, they lose their common sense. Thank you.